My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Second and final hour of the show. Then we will give way to D'Lo and KC, and they'll be rocking with you from noon to four right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog talk line. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. Feel free to fire up that phone number if you got something to say about the Kings game last night. Let's get to good, bad, and ugly, and then I want to get to my would you rather.
Okay.
Cool?
Yeah.
All right. Good, bad, and ugly. That should have a, we should have an intro for that. All right. What was your good thing from last night?
The guard play.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Fox, Monk, Mitchell combined for 82. Absolutely brilliant play by all of them. You know, I think there were moments in this game that were decided. The game was decided by moments from each of these players. Fox had moments in every quarter. Davion in the second quarter. Malik in the second and third. Like, there were just, like, really, really good moments by all of these guys that, mm-hmm. that helped push you over the top.
Yeah, man. Davion Mitchell ran a plus 23. In the second quarter.
Yeah, look at Keon Ellis, too. Like a plus 17 for the game.
Yeah.
And very limited minutes. Like, very, very impressive. He played 14 minutes, ran a plus 17, 5 points, 3 rebounds, and a steal. Yeah.
It went from not sure which one of these guys you can play to don't know which one you can't play.
Yeah, it went to, well, both of them and not Chris Duarte.
Well, what are you going to do, you know? My good thing last night, shout out to the Kings. They didn't let go of the right man. They could have let go. There was a point early in the game. They were down 19. They could have punted and said, oh, not our night. There was a point in the second half where the Lakers cut it to 12. They might have gotten it as low as 9. I don't think they ever got it to single digits. But as they came back, you texted right before, I think it was LeBron hit a three on the wing, and you were like, Mike Brown needs to take a timeout. And he
oh,
did.
Yeah.
And he did. And that stopped the run, and that was it. That felt like the Lakers are getting momentum, quick timeout, Kings yep. regroup. They came out and closed the door. They wound up losing the fourth quarter by 2 points, but when you're trying to hold on for a lead like that, it's... you'll take losing a quarter by two when you entered it up by a million. So,
yep. No, I think that that's what you have to do. I mean, this team is run out of, like, get out of jail free cards. Mm-hmm. They have to go out and throttle up every time and figure out ways. And if that means putting De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis out there for 40 minutes a night, hey, mm-hmm. that's what has to happen.
Yeah.
Deal with it later.
Yeah. What was bad for you last night?
Herter and Barnes were non-factors.
Yeah, they were.
They both played limited minutes. Harrison Barnes ended up with 11 points on 5 of 7 from the field, but ran a negative 10 in 15 minutes. Kevin Herter played 12 minutes, 1 of 3 from the field, missed both his threes. He scored 2 points, had 3 personal fouls, had 3 assists, which were nice, and a steal. Mm-hmm. His assists have been nice lately, and the 2-man game with Domas has been pretty impressive.
Yeah.
They have some moments. But overall, those guys lost out to guys like Davion Mitchell, guys like Keon Ellis, like we were talking about, guys like Trey Lyles, who played 30 minutes.
They're playing better.
Yeah.
They're more effective.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about it, man. If you're listening now, and if you can, reach back and pat yourself on the back. Because you, dear listener of the Insiders, collected as many rebounds and dished out as many assists as Harrison Barnes did last night.
Oh.
Congratulations. You are a borderline NBA player.
That's right.
Listener is a borderline NBA player. Harrison Barnes, bona fide NBA player.
Yes.
Don't get that twisted. My bad thing, did I write one down? Yeah. The Lakers are 15 of 32 from beyond the arc.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah. 15 of 32. That's bad. You don't love that. It wound up being fine. They won by 10. Again, this is nitpicky. It's supposed to be, it's good, bad, and ugly. We're trying to find it. That was something that jumped out. I felt like the Lakers never missed a three last night.
Yeah.
Every time, and they were down by so many early on that it didn't matter.
That's interesting. I didn't even notice the three-point shot. I thought it was almost like inconsequential. Like, I know that Austin Reeves hit a couple late when the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they didn't have that many, like, padding of the stats in the fourth quarter that you would point to that. Like, you can't keep doing that. But I guess if you're going to win, you're going to win.
Yeah, like I said, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at long-term trends from the season, that was they broke a couple of trends last night, but that was one that kept going. So, got to fix that. What was ugly?
19-point deficit early.
Yeah, it was.
You just can't.
Holy
you can't
smokes,
expect to
dude.
Come back in a game like that. Because how many times do we get to the end of a game and say, oh, you know, you lose by 6. You trail by 19 early, but it took so much to get back in the game. Mm-hmm. You just didn't have enough to put you over the top.
The Nuggets, when they lost in overtime to Phoenix the other night, they expended all this energy battling back from 22 points down, and then they get blown out in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're fighting uphill, and then you get to where you need to go and you don't have any energy to finish the job.
And then Kevin Durant got hot and you're just like, all right, you left the door open.
Yeah. Ball game. Yeah. No, I was certain at that point. When he got to 37 to 18 and the crowd is in it and they're dunking and LeBron's doing no-look passes and that just felt like a Laker avalanche where the Kings were going to lose by a bunch. But good for them. Not only in that building where it's this historic building and against the Lakers and I say historic. It is a big-time building. And against the Lakers, that is an easy spot to get overwhelmed and just go, all right.
It feels historic, and you're surrounded by stars.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not like old.
Wasn't Jack there? Like,
probably.
He hadn't been at games for a long time. I mean, Jimmy Goldstein sitting on the sidelines. Like, it's just like...
Staples Center matters.
It does. And if you've never... Have you ever gone to a game?
I have not.
Okay, so... The lighting is so specific.
Yeah.
It's like you're on a Hollywood set.
Right.
So the floor is lit and it's almost like a yellow hue.
Right.
And then you get about 8 rows deep and you can't really see any, it goes dark. Like it's this really dramatic effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only arena, like that's where Golden One is one of the nicest arenas in the league.
It's great.
Without any question. But it feels sterile. A lot of the times, even like it's a lot of like blue light. It's a lot of like black.
I
seats
see what you're saying.
Like
yeah.
Concrete and concrete floors.
Sure.
Like the whole thing feels a little sterile. There aren't a lot of areas in the building for like artwork or things to liven it up. There's not a lot of wood. So when you're looking at it, it's it's very sterile, and it feels like even the court is really bright. It's really lit.
It is very bright in there.
Yeah, so that's just not the case with when you go to Staples. It's somewhere that I tell people, like, you want to really capture like the like Showtime Lakers or like catch a game that feels different. It's a cool place to go.
Yeah, I would like to do that. Maybe we can do that next season.
Yeah,
take a little road trip.
I'm in.
All right, yeah. Great. Mark it down. When was Keegan last night, man?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I'm expecting too much, but I thought at some point here down the stretch, because we talked about a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, how important Keegan Murray is. Mike Brown talked about how important Keegan Murray is. Do I still have that sound? Is it still here? Yeah, here. Let's hit. There's Mike Brown. Listen to this.
Yeah, you know, I've had, and I will continue to have conversation with Keegan. We want Keegan to be aggressive because we feel like his development is necessary for us to continue our climb as a team. And so not just because of tonight, but, you know, going forward, I'm always going to tell him, hey, be aggressive. Just because this guy's in the game or that guy's in the game, you go ahead and you take the lead. If you see any opportunity to take advantage of the defense or your defender, we're all for it.
Eight shots is not that. And that was, again, that was last week or a couple weeks ago. And I understand it's not like they needed him last night. They had plenty of offense, but I would like to see the Kings more often having plenty of offense with Keegan Murray shooting it 17, 18 times.
Yeah.
Eight shots, that is just a lack of aggressiveness. The opportunities are there. The Lakers can't defend. I want to see him be more consistently active for everything. Not just about this year. It is about long term. They need Keegan Murray to get to a certain level as a player if he's going to be their third guy. And I don't think you're going to get there taking eight shots in a game.
Yeah, I get your point. I would also say, like, every game has its own life and
no doubt,
its own vibe.
And I agree.
And I don't think the way that Davion Mitchell was hitting everything in the second quarter, like, okay, maybe Davion gets a quarter here. Maybe it's his time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Monk just takes over. And you have these great moments for Monk. The early third quarter where Sabonis came into the second half with, I think, 4 points and comes out of the third quarter with, like, I don't know, probably what he finished with. You know, there are players that have moments, and I don't think you have to force your way into all of these moments. You don't have to play like, hey.
I'm with you, but he was 3-for-8 last night and 3-for-8 against Chicago.
Yeah, that's not good.
This has been a thing all year. And he went, and again, this is just field goal attempts. 14, 17, 15 in the three games before Chicago. Like, that's more like it. That's more the direction you want to see him trending. And then he comes back with 8-8. And you kind of wonder if that aggressiveness is just not coming, if it's just not there.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter. In 7 minutes of play, he didn't take a shot. Yeah. Actually, all he had was a rebound. That's it. He had one offensive rebound, and I remember it. It was a nice play, but yeah.
All right. I want to do this. Would you rather? We'll do that, but I want to get to keys to a Kings victory tonight against the Spurs as the Sacramento Kings at Golden 1 Center looking to avoid the dreaded loss to a worse team while that team is also shorthanded.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's happened a lot this year. How do they avoid it? We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Sacramento Kings, San Antonio Spurs, Golden 1 Center tonight. It's an important one. This is not a big game. They're all important. I'm no longer going to specify when it's an important game. The Kings need to stack wins, especially against bad teams, especially against bad shorthanded teams.
Every game is a big game from here on out.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, if you want to be a playoff team, if you want to avoid the play-in, if you want to...
I think they're all important. You know? I think games like the Lakers or the Suns or the Mavericks or Golden State, I think those are big.
Yeah.
Every game is going to be important moving forward, though.
See, Kyle, this is the Sacramento Kings thinking that gets them to overlook teams that they shouldn't overlook.
You know what? You're totally right.
And that's why every game is a big game. And that's why you know, again, the Kings have been looking at the season in five game sprint, like stints. They also, you know, they try to focus on one game to the next and the next. I really wish like the hyper focus on one game, but it's tough. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why back-to-backs are so difficult. Like mm-hmm. if you play back-to-backs against a team that you've played a couple of times, that's one thing. But when you play a back-to-back against a team that you don't see all the time, like how do you game plan for it? You know, because it's not like you're going to have a shoot around. It's not like you're going to have like a film session
yeah.
on that team, what the tendencies are of that team. You play one night, you get up the next morning. Sometimes you have to travel
mm-hmm.
and then boom, you're right in it and you haven't really had that prep time. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hit the injury report for tonight's game. Sasha Vezenkov, of course, still dealing with an ankle injury. He is out. Victor Wembanyama also out dealing with a right ankle issue. So no Victor Wembanyama for the San Antonio Spurs tonight.
Yeah. And
that's a bummer.
Charles Bassey is out too with an ACL, left ACL tear, which is too bad. He's another big man that probably would have filled in with Victor Wembanyama out, shot blocking, you know.
Yeah.
Theo Ratliff built like player, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
No idea who Theo Ratliff is.
No, I know. That was just a wild, just an out of nowhere kind of
pull. Oh, okay.
Pull.
Gotcha.
All right. Keys to the game. James Hamm, what is your first key to the Kings not losing to the shorthanded Spurs?
Don't blow it again. just go in there. Just don't blow it. You know what's at stake? We all know what's at stake. Let's not have a post game where everyone's looking at each other like, I can't believe that just happened. What is going on? We need another players only meeting. Like, just go out there, beat a team that's not as good as you, who is lacking their star. Take it serious. Hopefully your starters can get a rest tonight that they didn't get last night
mm-hmm.
because you run over a team. That's what you should do.
I agree that's what they should do, but I'm done expecting that or asking for that.
Yep.
Just win.
Yeah.
Number one. Where are we at? Number
yeah,
one,
you.
Right?
Yeah, Kyle's key.
Stop Devin Vassell. He's
stop
their dude.
Him. Just stop him.
Just I know he's going to score and he's going to have 20 plus and he's going to take a ton of shots. I get that. You cannot let him get rolling the way he did in their first matchup at Golden 1 Center. He yeah. was cooking.
That and like be realistic, he is not DeMar DeRozan. Go nope. out there and stop him. Like yeah. He's a good young player.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a great young player.
Yeah, he's fine.
Go out there and find a way to stop him. Do not let him come anywhere near what he did last time. And again, I'm going to give the Kings a little bit of an out with the last game where they barely, well, they held on and won by five, 127-122
mm-hmm.
against the Spurs. That was the first game coming out of the break. Like, that's always a weird game. You've had a week off. You know, some guys just rolled back into town after vacation. It's always a weird game. But what you can't do is let a guy go 13 of 18 and 3 of 4 from 3. He doesn't even shoot that many threes.
Mm-hmm.
And he just lit you up. That can't mm-hmm. happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see. That's where I would love to see Keegan Murray. I talked about him offensively. It's where I'd love to see him pick up that assignment and play really, really well in that spot.
Uh-huh.
All right. Number two.
Number two for me is find second wind after an emotional win last night.
Yep.
You know, like everyone's going to be tired. It's not easy to go into, you know, stables.crypto. Whatever the hell we're calling it.
Yeah.
It's not easy to go in there, a 7:30 start, beat a team that you know you have to beat and have an emotional win, have a big night by Fox, and then leave there, fly home, get back in the middle of the night. A lot of players played 37, 38 minutes. Even Trey Lyles playing 30 minutes off the bench is not something he typically does.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find it. You need to show heart and figure it out and show that you can play on the second night of a back-to-back. And, you know, they started 0-4 on back-to-backs,
mm-hmm.
and they've caught up. They're now 4-5,
yep,
which is pretty substantial.
Yeah. Number two for me, don't let Zach Collins, I know it's kind of a bit, but taking it. You can't let him get under your skin and affect this game in a greater way than Zach Collins should be affecting a game. Zach Collins is a fine player. He's not bad, but he is a capable NBA player. But he's gonna push and he's gonna pull and he's going to throw an elbow here and a forearm there and maybe have a dirty play here or there. You cannot let him under your skin where all of a sudden Zach Collins is having this outsized effect on the game because Domantas Sabonis is in foul trouble or De'Aaron Fox gets an early tech, and I don't want any of that. Zach Collins is going to go have 15-9 or whatever he's going to wind up with, and that should be the extent of his effect on the game.
Yeah, I totally agree. If I'm the Kings, I try to get Zach Collins sitting on the bench as quick as possible. Just attack him. Attack. Get him in foul trouble. Get him out of the game. Have him go sit and watch. And you can do that because once you get past him, they don't really have anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know how to say, well, let's see. They have Sandro Mamukelashvili on their bench.
Talked about him last time.
Which I like, Mamukelashvili, 6'11", 240 pounds. Like, we've never heard of him. He, for some reason, he's played there a long time, and
he averaged 10.8 for the Spurs in 19 games last year.
In 19 games, yeah,
10.8 and 6.8.
Yeah, that's because he was finishing off the season playing a bunch of minutes, but that's who is backing up Zach Collins. So go ahead and beat up Zach Collins so he doesn't impact the game at all.
Yeah, definitely. Number three for you.
This is the worst shooting, three-point shooting team in the league.
Now you went and did it.
I did. I keep saying it. Just collapse the lane. they shoot 34.6, shrink the game. I say this every game, and then the Kings give up. What did they give up last night? 15 of what last night?
15 to 32.
15 to 32. Don't give up 15 to 32.
This is not on me.
Yeah. Play a zone. Play a zone against this team. Again, you need to have all of these things in your bag when you get to the playoffs. Work on the zone. Work on some of these things. This is not it's a young, inexperienced, not great team. They're well coached.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, they're not a winning. They have 13 wins. Go out there and mix it up.
When the Spurs go 14 of 31 tonight, I want everyone to remember this.
You're going
to
blame me.
100%.
100%.
I'm running them off the line all night. I am doing whatever I can to make sure the Spurs are not hoisting threes because they're going to go in.
All right.
Number three for me. I need the bench to keep flexing.
Mm-hmm.
50 points last night, 62 in the win against Minnesota. That's largely because Malik Monk has been on a scoring binge, but I want to see that keep up. He's, to me, their most important player. De'Aaron Fox is their best player. He's going to set a tone, all this and that. When Malik Monk comes off the bench and is scoring and is playing well, there is a different vibe and a different feel to this team, and you see it by way of that bench scoring, that second unit scoring. The second unit was what got him back in the game last night. I need to see him continue having big games, even against a team that is not as good.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that what we're going to see here off the bench is probably something similar to what we saw last night. You're going to see Keon Ellis. You're going to see Davion Mitchell. You're going to see a lot of Trey Lyles. Again, I think that they'll go small ball tonight because there's no reason not to, like, off the bench. So if you need to figure out a way to get some of these guys minutes, this could be one of those games where you put Trey Lyles at, you can go Trey Lyles at the five, you can go Chris Duarte at the four for some, or, and Kevin Huerter, you know, front line Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles, and because that's the size of this team without Victor Wembanyama. And so I would say really try to push the tempo, really try to like rely on that second unit to go get you something. And they need to bring it. They need to bring something.
Yeah. Kevin Huerter specifically.
Yeah, he needs a game.
He needs to have a game where he's productive, but B, he plays like 30 plus minutes. And give me good minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 3 games ago he played 39 minutes. It's not it's not like he's not playing.
Yeah, but he played 18 and he was mad about it. Last night he got, 12 minutes?
Yeah.
It's more just a function of how he's playing. Mike Brown isn't sitting Kevin Huerter because he thinks Kevin Huerter is a bad overall player. He's sitting Kevin Huerter because he's not effective in that game.
Well, that is...
Go be effective.
And I also think it's something about, on occasion, there's a player who just matches up better and that you need to go to. And, you know, the last time they played the Spurs, Kevin Huerter had 21 points.
Yeah.
And he was really good. He had 21 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. He hit 5 of 8 from 3. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's if Kevin Huerter is that player, it takes care of everything else.
Yeah.
Like, we don't worry about how many minutes he's playing because he doesn't come off the court. That's just, it is what it is.
We will revisit all this tomorrow, 10 to noon, right here on ESPN 1320, and see if the Kings can pull off the victory. They're minus 10.5 tonight. I think I like the Kings. I think this is going to be the... I'm 2-0. I'm 2-0 in my last two. I gave you Bulls plus 7.5 the other night. I gave you Kings plus 2.5 last night. I'm going Kings minus 10.5. I'm putting a little bit of faith in them. I was very encouraged by what I saw from them, specifically mentally last night.
Okay.
All right. Coming up, 6:30 p.m. right here for the final time in the Pac-12 regular season. We've got Arizona State at UCLA. Got a big game coming up for you on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's a complete crap.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I have a fun hypothetical for you.
Uh-oh.
And I think it might be obvious, but I just want to kind of play. Just a, it's a little thought experiment. That's all. On a it's a thought experiment, not a hypothetical, because I think the answer is obvious. But we've been talking about stacking up wins and needing to get to the number 6 seed, so you're in the playoffs, trying to get to at least the number 6. Would you rather finish number 6 and face Denver in the first round? Or would you rather finish number 7 with the chance to play either Oklahoma City or Minnesota in the first round?
If I can guarantee 7, and I know
you can't guarantee anything,
that I'm going to make it through the play-in.
So you'll either play the Mavs, Golden State, or LA in that 7-8 game?
No, but I'm not.
You'll take the six?
I'll take the six.
Just
because
for that whole
making the playoffs is making the playoffs, making sure that you don't have your first round pick. It's a big deal. All of it's a big deal. That's where I would be.
Yeah. I think that's where I am too, but also, yeah, I can't. I was going to try and come at this from the angle because when I was thinking about this morning, like, man, you would feel good. They've owned the Lakers the last 2 years. You'd feel fine if you're playing the Lakers in the play-in.
I'm not, though.
Really?
I'm not because,
I get why you wouldn't.
You have the world against you in that game, and you have to do what you did last night. You have to go out and flat out beat them.
Which I think they can do.
Well, yeah, but a regular season game, LeBron decides to put on the gas last night for 3 minutes and is like, okay, well, we're not going to win because they keep answering. If he decides to do that for 15 minutes straight, he's either going to make every shot or he's going to get to the free throw line. That's the way that the NBA is. And so I don't like playing him or Steph Curry in that game. And I don't care.
Well, I get the Warriors have been just a tougher matchup in general.
Yeah, but the Kings are 2-2 against them this season.
One of them, they came back from 24 down to win by one. And the other one was a 1-point win, right?
Now, look, if somehow there's a 7-8 7-8 with you in Dallas. Okay. I think you can beat Dallas.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2-0 against Dallas right now.
Dallas, bro.
Yeah, Dallas is so, they're so one-dimensional.
It doesn't track in my head because Luka is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
A really good player. Just an abomination to watch. I can't stand watching.
An abomination.
But yes.
Complete crap.
He's good. He's good as hell at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyrie, same thing. Forget the off-court stuff for just a, and just pure nameless, faceless basketball player.
Yes.
He is one of the most aesthetically pleasing players to watch in the sport and one of the toughest shot makers in the sport. But when was the last time a team won a title or a team made a serious run and where a team was dangerous in the playoffs where it's my turn, your turn offense?
Mm.
It doesn't happen. And I get Luka dishes out a bunch of assists and all that. Sure. But it's not within the flow of an offense.
I'd even say that that's part of the reason why the Celtics haven't won a championship with their group. That is one of the craziest my turn, your turn teams I've ever seen.
Mm.
Like, they literally take Jason Tatum off the court and allow Jaylen Brown to go score.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put him back on the court and they play together some. But it's so my turn, your turn.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you win that way.
I think that's why Jrue Holiday makes them dangerous.
Yeah.
Although I thought the same thing about Malcolm Brogdon, but...
Well, but it's also, I think Porzingis makes him dangerous, too, because, you know, you have to defend Porzingis everywhere on the court. And I'm not a Porzingis fan at all, and I would never have traded for him for, the Sacramento Kings, but I get why they did it, and I think that there is value in what he brings, but I wouldn't want him as a centerpiece player, and he's not a centerpiece player. He's the fourth best player on that Boston Celtics team.
So if I told you the Mavs were guaranteed to be the 8 seed, you would take the 7 instead of the 6?
Probably.
And risk it?
Yes.
Mm.
The 7, if I knew I was getting either OKC or Minnesota, yeah.
Well, especially Minnesota now. We haven't even touched on this yet. Karl Anthony Towns out indefinitely with a torn meniscus.
Mm, brutal.
That's... I was already not super terrified that the Timberwolves were going to go on a run. But the world where the Timberwolves go on a run involved Karl Anthony Towns turning into a top three center in the league, which, depending on who you ask, he already is. But he would be dominant, right? He'd be averaging 30 and 10 and knocking down a bunch of threes and just making Rudy Gobert a viable option on the court. And everything's working together, and oh my God, they have this stifling defense with Anthony Edwards, and Karl Anthony Towns can't be stopped right now, and here come the Wolves. I don't see that with Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert. Like, we've seen that. It's the Jazz. That's what they have.
Okay.
When it was Donovan Mitchell and Rudy.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you there. I do think that there's a possibility that, first of all, Ant-Man becomes like the superstar,
just superhuman
that everyone thinks that he is.
Sure.
Already right now. He does. Like, this is going to open a door. I really, really like Nahs Reed, and I really like Jalen. Is it Jaden McDaniels? Yeah, Jaden McDaniels is her. But they don't have enough scoring without. They were already a team that isn't a good scoring team. Mm-hmm. They're 19th in the league in scoring in points per game. They're 17th in the league in offensive rating. You take Cat off that team, and they become pretty bland as a scoring team. I mean, you're going to have to count on guys like Nickeil Alexander-Walker to step up and be something that he hasn't been before. You're going to have to.
But that's all. And I don't even hate that in the regular season. But when you get into the playoffs, guys like Nickeil Alexander-Walker get played off the floor.
Oh, yeah.
As teams game plan around and. Even before the Cat injury, check this out. Since the All-Star break, the Timberwolves have played the Bucks and they lost by 5 at home.
Mm-hmm.
They played Brooklyn at home and won. They beat San Antonio at home. They beat Memphis at home. They lost to the Kings in overtime at home. They lost to the Clippers at home, where they scored 88 points. The Clippers scored 89 points and won that game. And then their fourth win since the break, the Blazers.
Well, that's a cupcake schedule.
Yeah, Nets, Spurs, Grizzlies, Blazers, all wins. Clippers, Kings, Bucks, all losses.
Any team that's any good at all beat them.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was already kind of wary of them. And you take Cat out of the mix, and I just don't. And they're tied for first right now with Oklahoma City. They're a game up on Denver. Okay. Now follow this, because I'm going to ask you a question based on this. Here's their upcoming road trip: at Indiana, at Cleveland, at Lakers, at Clippers, at Jazz. Then they're home Nuggets, home Cavs, home Warriors, home Pistons, at Nuggets again.
Oh, they're shot.
Where do they wind up in the standings? They're 2.5 games up on fourth place.
Yeah.
Do you think this is so dire that? Because I think I think you mentioned Ant turning into a just superhuman, which maybe, I don't know if they'll fall that far. But when it comes playoff time, man, I think Chris Finch can put it together in the regular season, and you can rally your guys and you can go, yeah, hey, let's go win this one. Okay, Indiana. You can score on them easily. And Cleveland, okay, that's a tough matchup. But then the Lakers, not that good. The Clippers, you just held them to 89 points. Go score some more. Play some good defense. You can see yourself talking to yourself. But when you go play Sacramento or New Orleans or Phoenix 7 times in a row, I don't love that.
Well, they're now the team that you target, that everyone's going to target.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, if they drop to 3, everyone wants 6.
Yeah.
You know, they dropped to 4. Everyone wants 5. Like, how do we get to 5?
Yeah.
No, it's a good question, man. I don't know. It's a tremendous injury. I feel for them because they're having like a phenomenal season. You hate to see something like this happen.
Yeah.
To a team that like really is building something and like trying to get back on track for the first time in a while, and to see them like get all the way up to the top and then have an injury, it's just a bummer. It would be the same thing if, like, the Kings last year climbing meteoric rise, and they're the 3 seed. If they would have lost, I mean, their players played through injuries, but
I think it's even worse because you could compare that to this year.
Yeah.
Minnesota had their playoff run last year.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the playoffs. They lose in the first round. This was supposed to be the next step.
Yeah,
this was supposed to be. They figured it out with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, and they can coexist. And Anthony Edwards is growing into this great player, and Jaden McDaniels and Nahs Reed, and look at all this depth. Mike Conley's over there, and now it's that second year jump that could potentially happen is just not there. I wasn't out on the Timberwolves entirely as a threat in the playoffs, but now I got nothing for him. I'll still, you know, be excited and hope that Anthony Edwards goes in and puts together some great games here in a great series. But I don't buy them against anybody in the West.
I like just looking at their schedule. They got 20 games left. I would be surprised if they were better than 6-14 or 7-13.
Really?
Just looking at the schedule left?
Really? Man.
I mean, if you can beat Indiana, that's a big game. Tonight, they play Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's Cavs, Lakers, Clippers. You beat the Jazz twice, even though it's in
Utah.
But then Nuggets, Cavs, Warriors are going to beat you. You're going to beat the Pistons. You're going to play the Nuggets again and lose. It's a toss-up with the Bulls, but I'm going to say Bulls. I think you can beat the Rockets. You can beat the Raptors. You're going to lose to the Suns. You're going to lose to the Lakers. You're going to beat Washington. You're going to lose to the Nuggets. 50-50 coin flip with the Atlanta Hawks and then the Phoenix Suns last game of the season. If Phoenix is playing for anything right there, you're going to lose.
Man. And just following the trend, like it sounds harsh just going, yeah, they're going to lose to this good team and they're going to beat this bad team. But that's literally what they've done since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
That's been their entire ethos as a team, and that was before they lost their second best player.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I would like to see their record against 500 teams throughout the season.
I can get that for you right now.
Yeah?
I can get that. I'm looking it up.
All right. You're going to dig into that. Yeah.
I am. Yeah, if they're the three seed, I know which answer I'm taking in our little hypothetical there.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are 23-14 against teams above 500 and 20-5 against teams below 500.
Okay. So 23-14?
Sacramento 20-20 against teams above 500.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they're up there with a team like Minnesota.
Yeah, Phoenix 17-17, New Orleans 19-16, Clippers 20-18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out it's harder to beat good teams. Welcome in, Damian. That's what we're talking about today.
Hell yeah.
Harder to beat good teams than it is to beat bad teams.
Mm.
So.
Hell of a take.
Yeah,
science.
Thank you. We're locked in.
That's right.
Big win for the Kings last night over the Lakers. Just to give you an update in case you have not looked today, the Kings are the 7 seed, a game and a half clear of the Dallas Mavericks. They are half a game back of the Phoenix Suns for that number 6 seed, the final playoff spot. Kings fans rooting for Toronto tonight. Phoenix is in Toronto. Phoenix is hosting Toronto down there in the desert. Damian Barling going to join us shortly for the handoff. As we are going through the Karl Anthony Towns injury and what it means for the West, as we welcome in Damian Barling.
So bad because I could hear you stalling for time as I was trying to log in. I was doing my
best. It's okay. That was on me. The way you were sitting in the corner of my eye, you were ready, and I launched into my thing, and then I looked over at the stream and I realized you were not. That's my fault.
Very much.
Don't feel bad. That's on me.
I didn't feel bad.
Okay, good.
I did a little bit. It's like, oh, he's stalling. Log in. Vamping. Come on, he's stalling. Vamping. Damn it.
Charlie, where's the read?
Wait for it.
ESPN 1320 is going hoops crazy.
Farmer's Dog Talk Line.
That's right.
Bark at us.
Bark at us.
If Farmer's Dog wants to send me some product, I'm down. I looked into it right before that deal went into place. I was like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like, I love Sprout, but man, that thing isn't cheap.
Well,
it's
yeah.
like good, healthy food for you. Like it gets delivered like every 2 weeks. Like it's a dope service.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you gotta.
Is that real stuff?
You gotta commit to it. You gotta really commit to it.
Well, you know, a healthy life starts with healthy food.
That's a good.
And that's true for dogs and people.
It's facts.
That's true.
That's facts. That's facts.
Great win for the Kings last night. Mm-hmm. I know you guys are going to talk about that. This Karl Anthony Towns injury though, torn meniscus, out indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think? This is what we're going through. Where do you think the Timberwolves wind up in the standings? And are they just out as a viable contender to you now?
Yeah. Like you can't lose one of your top three players in a tightly contested top of the conference and still be, oh no, they're fine.
Right.
Like, no, you can't. Like Karl Anthony Towns is so important to what they do because of the way that Rudy Gobert plays. And I think Rudy Gobert has had an extraordinary season. I think Karl Anthony Towns has been really good. I think the collective of the Minnesota Timberwolves has been good. I think they're going to be able to survive. I think they could still finish first or second. You know, obviously third is very much in play. I doubt they finish below that. But when it comes to winning a series, I don't know, man. That's a whole different animal to me.
We were talking about whether they dropped to like fourth or fifth.
I don't think so.
Their schedule's tough.
Yeah, the one thing that always bothers me with stuff like this is if they said, so Karl Anthony Towns is out indefinitely. If they said Karl Anthony Towns is out, like he's not coming back.
Done for the year.
Yeah. I think they'd be better off because I think you get into a certain mindset of he's not coming back. We have to figure out a way to live without him.
Sure.
Versus surviving game to game or surviving week to week or, hey guys, let's just get through the regular season. Like you're at a mental deficit, in my opinion, when that type of stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you hope Karl Anthony Towns could come back. A torn meniscus, it's insane. Oh, they're going to give you a timetable. They're going to say, oh, 6 to 8 weeks, hypothetically, making up a time. Oh, it's 6 to 8 weeks. Okay. You think he's going to be ready to play playoff basketball in 8 weeks? No, he might be willing. He might be able to function like, you know,
practice.
D'Lo, Kyle and James function in 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But NBA playoff basketball, like, no, that's not realistic, at least not at that level.
No.
That's terribly unrealistic, and I hate when they put these timetables on these guys who are clearly trying to rush back from injuries, and they come back, and you go, man, goddamn, he just doesn't look good. He doesn't look right. Yeah.
Like, duh.
He just tore his meniscus. Of course he doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Like, I've had people who've had scopes, and they tell you it's 6 to 8 weeks in a scope, and they'll be like, yeah. 6 to 8 weeks, you're not going to feel normal for 6 to 8 months.
Oh, yeah.
Like on a basketball floor,
you're not
going to feel normal for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
But they want you back out there because, okay, it's healed, you can go. That's not realistic. So I think sometimes when you have moments where it's like the Deshaun Watson thing, going back to football, Deshaun Watson was gone.
Mm-hmm.
He is out. We have to survive without Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And they were. And I think there's a strong mental component to that where you're not waiting for someone to return.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm looking too, and I think the problem that if you're a team that's going to try to climb up, right, and get past them, I don't know how many teams can win 50 that are, because Minnesota, let's say they do go, they finish the season like 7-13.
Okay.
That's 50 wins.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think the Kings can go 15-6 and get to 50. I don't know that Phoenix can go 14-6 and get to 50. The Pelicans might be able to go, you know, 13-7 and get to 50 wins, but that's kind of like the cutoff. After that, I think the Clippers can easily in 21 games they can go 11-10 and get to 50 wins. No
problem. How clear is Minnesota from LA?
The Clippers?
Yeah, sorry.
Four and a half games.
No, three, that's a game and a half, two and a half.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I might have.
Two games and a loss.
I might need to.
Two games and a loss call.
I might need to amend what I thought it was closer to four. I didn't realize it was two. That's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's close. That's tough.
But then there's that gap between the Clippers and the Pelicans.
Yeah.
That's the 3.5 game gap there. You said when you first sat down, you were like, yeah, Minnesota could still be like the one or two seed. And then you asked how far back LA was.
Mm.
And I had you specify. The Lakers are 10 games back, dude. I mean, you weren't talking about the Lakers. They're not going to be in the mix.
Well, this isn't Kenny.
No, it's not.
Okay,
talking about the Lake Show.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually, you know what? I've got that.
You know how to fire that?
Yeah, I sure do.
Good.
Where is it?
No, if
okay.
It takes you this long,
Lake Show.
Let it go.
There it was.
There it is.
I can't hear it because this headphone jack is so
bad.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
plug
right.
my headphones in.
They're apparently going to switch those out.
That's great.
That's what I've heard.
All right.
Good. Good win for the Kings last night.
Very good.
Did you think I thought it was over at 37-18.
So I had the app open and I'm just like, don't. Everyone else was.
You were going to tweet?
Just don't.
Never tweet.
Put the phone down. Give them an opportunity to kick out of this.
Yep.
And they came out of that timeout great. De'Aaron. Like, okay.
Yep.
I like this. And then they did everything offensively, defensively. Like, it's as good, it's as complete of a basketball game as I think we've seen them play. The 120 that they gave up, I don't think is even remotely indicative to what they did defensively yesterday.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that they were really good all around.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, again, we talked about it earlier. I thought Davion was tremendous in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. I thought Keon Ellis, his energy was tremendous.
And I think De'Aaron pointed to Keon and Davion in the post game.
Yeah.
Not at the table, but on the headset. He pointed to their play. But talk about Davion for a second, Hammer. That's as confident as I've ever seen Davion Mitchell shoot the ball.
No hesitation.
That's how he looked in the preseason. We talked in the preseason. We're like, wow, he looks like he knows exactly what he's doing on the court now.
He looks so comfortable. Davion, really, as frustrating as this up and down for the Kings have been, Davion has looked absolutely fantastic to me since Mike put him back in the lineup. You know, we got to be at like 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
He's been in the lineup for a while, and I feel like he has been... the game he started wasn't, you know, the best, but overall, I think he's played really, really well, and he's shot the ball really well over the last 12 games.
All right, D'Lo and KC coming up next. I'm sure there's going to be a deep dive on the Kings' win over the Lakers last night. That is coming up right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader James and I will be back tomorrow at 10. We're the Insiders. Thanks for listening.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.